Okay, shout out to Astapro for sponsoring this episode and providing me with free samples. My allergies in Nashville, actually everywhere I've been going, have been throwing my whole week off, and I just don't feel like myself when I have, you know, the old sniffles or when I'm sneezing nonstop. And let me tell you, it makes podcasting very hard. So I've been using Astapro every time my allergies kind of flare up, and I'm always just amazed at how fast I'm back in the game. So I've been continuing to use Astapro to help, and so should you. Astapro is a first of its kind nasal allergy spray, and it's the fastest 24-hour over-the-counter allergy spray. So it starts working in 30 minutes while other allergy sprays take hours, and Astapro is the first and only 24-hour steroid-free allergy spray. Astapro delivers full prescription strength indoor and outdoor allergy relief from nasal congestion, runny and itchy nose, and sneezing. Get fast-acting nasal allergy symptom relief with Astapro. Go to astaproallergy.com for a discount so you can Astapro and go today. Astaproallergy.com. Astapro and go. Use as directed for relief of nasal congestion, runny nose, sneezing, and itchy nose due to allergies.
Who's on with OTV?
Podcast One presents Off the Vine, Great Therapy. Caitlin Bristow is going to answer your question, drink to your confessions, and hear what you have to say about anything Bachelor. Let's shake it up some more. Here's Caitlin.
Welcome to Great Therapy. Your session is now starting. Today I have a very loved past Bachelor in Paradise contestant here with me. She was someone completely outside of the Bachelor Nation and made an unexpected appearance, and she stayed, in Paradise after another contestant, Demi, came out as gay and revealed she fell in love with someone else before she came on the show. Now that someone was Christian, the first openly gay cast member in Bachelor history, and for that we love her even more. But there is more to that story, because for the first time Christian shares that going on the show was actually how she came out to most of her friends and family unexpectedly when information was leaked before she even had a chance to talk with them. Honestly, her story is just perfect for Pride Month as we celebrate love in all forms, and I have so much fun catching up with this beautiful soul. Honestly, one of the kindest, most calm people I've ever met. I felt so friggin' zen talking to her. And at peace throughout our whole conversation. We talk about her life on the road. She's in a camper traveling all of the states when COVID hit. What happened with her and Demi, her new relationship, and of course, a quick recap of this week's rather real and heavy episode of The Bachelorette. And we might even get a bit emotional as we chat. All right, let's get into some real stuff. Hi!
Hi!
How are you?
I am well. How are you?
I am also well, thank you. Where are you right now?
I'm in Florida. We stopped traveling for a little bit. We kind of pulled a Deanie Babies where we're like traveling the United States in a camper.
Yes.
And so my mom actually had foot surgery. It just worked out where, you know, the freedom of being on the road, we were able to come back and kind of take care of her for the last 2 weeks. So I'll be here for another 2 weeks, probably.
Amazing. And then will you pick up where you left off? Like, I need to hear more about this this trip that you're on. So you decided to rent, like a camper? Tell me everything.
Okay. So with the pandemic hitting and everything, I was in LA, and my girlfriend right now, Taylor Blake, she moved to LA in January, but then the pandemic happened. And I was like, I'm not signing a new lease. Like, it's just so much money. It's so expensive. And like, everything shut down. I didn't have work and all these different things. So I was like, let's just, you know, take a long trip back to Florida to our families. Mm-hmm. And her family's from Florida as well.
Oh, amazing.
So we packed up my hatchback Mazda and drove, and we bought a tent at Walmart for like $40. And we tented. We were in a tent for 6 weeks across the United States.
No way.
Like in nature. Oh, yeah. We like fell in love. It was only supposed to be 2 weeks and it ended up being 6 weeks. So we stopped in like Colorado, and I have a bunch of friends in Colorado. So we were just loving that lifestyle. And I was like, you know, let's not sign something because we don't know where we want to be, where our careers are taking us, what's going to happen. And so made it back to Florida in August. And my mom actually sells RVs for a living.
Wow.
So it's been in my family for years. We did it as kids. And also Dean and Kaylin I'm close with. And so that's inspiring. And
absolutely.
I was like, this can work. I looked at my budget. I looked at, you know, without paying rent and having utilities and all this stuff, if we just, you know, front the cash and just have something paid off.
Yeah.
Well, what do you have? You just have traveling expenses. So it's like, gas wow. and wherever you land, really. So we actually bought a camper. So we have a camper purchased.
That's incredible. I feel like that would just kind of give a whole new perspective on life and even relationships and like how you live your life and what you need to be happy. And you know what I mean? Like, what did you miss the most from like, you know, not living the travel life?
I think with having a partner, that's very, you have to have two people that want to do that lifestyle.
Yes.
And so that was very helpful to have someone that was so on board and like, let's just let the wind take us, because this pandemic, it was in August of mid pandemic. And we're like, what's the worst thing that could happen? You know, if we need to be back with our families, we can. Uh-huh. And that's what's happening right now. I'm back with my mom for, you know, her surgery. And it's just, it's really helpful to have somebody that's supportive in that dream, because we're in it's a bed yeah. and like a little walkway, and we have three dogs. So it's like,
wow,
you gotta really, really test your limits on patience and all the things in a relationship. And
you come across as a very patient person though. Is that, am I right on that?
I guess I would hope I am patient. Yeah.
I think you'd have to be in the situation you're in. So yeah. Whether you think you are or not, you are, because I don't know if I could do that. And I mean, I love nature. I actually love camping. I love road trips. I feel like I would love to do that and see different parts of the world. And, you know, but I don't know if I'd have the patience, especially with dogs and a partner and living in that. Like, that's got to be challenging at times.
Oh, for sure. And I think it's really, if we can do this, you know what I mean? It's a good test of like, before we sign a lease, before we buy
Absolutely.
Or invest in property or a house, like if I can, you know, if I can become better with this environment that's so optimistic and just like, you don't know what's going to happen, and having a partner that, you know, you can reflect on, and you have a lot of time, like in this lifestyle, to like reflect on yourself. And to, you know, have your partner there and to learn how you kind of jive with each other, like what I need from you and what you need from me, and how can I become a better partner? And like this, if we got, we're loving it. We're still not sick of each other. We're still not sick of like a 16-foot camper. So, I mean,
that's a good sign.
It's like the foundation is there. And now it's like, if we can live in this little small quarters, we can live anywhere.
Okay, this festival and concert season, it's all about the boots. We all know it. And I've got just the place for you to find your perfect pair. They are Tecovas, okay? They've got everything you need to rock that festival style. But really what sets Tecovas apart is their first wear comfort, okay? Seriously, there's little to no break-in period. So you can strut your stuff in style right out of the gates. Plus their direct-to-consumer pricing keeps value on your feet and money in your pocket. So stop at your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff. Are you kidding me? They're at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. That's what I did. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. So if you can't make it to a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's tecovas.com. They're offering free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges. And they ship right to your door. So go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today. Okay, this festival and concert season, it's all about the boots. We all know it. And I've got just the place for you to find your perfect pair. They are Tecovas, okay? They've got everything you need to rock that festival style. But really what sets Tecovas apart is their first wear comfort, okay? Seriously, there's little to no break-in period. So you can strut your stuff in style right out of the gates. Plus their direct-to-consumer pricing keeps value on your feet and money in your pocket. So stop at your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff. Are you kidding me? They're at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. That's what I did. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. So if you can't make it to a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's tecovas.com. They're offering free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges. And they ship right to your door. So go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
How long have you two been together?
We were talking December 2019.
Yeah.
And then we became official right around Valentine's Day. So
amazing. Like you said, that's a good foundation to start on. And I always talk about foundations, because I come from the bachelor world, obviously, and that's a really hard foundation to start on. Mm-hmm. And you are not just dating each other, you know, the one person's yeah. dating a bunch of people. And you also have like the aspect of you're trying to make television as well. And I was going to ask you how hard that must have been for you, because you weren't in the Bachelor franchise. You didn't know what you were getting yourself into. You didn't know when you're showing up on the beach in paradise, like what that looked like to have to talk to producers. And you did it with grace and you did it really well. And I just was, I have so many questions about that, just because for people who don't know, maybe you could explain how that all happened.
Oh, for sure. And I do want to say before I get into that, congratulations on your engagement and your love.
Thank you.
Because I actually follow your fiance's finance thing. I saw Dini Babies on it, and I, of course, followed after that. And I just think it's very intriguing. And he is a beautiful person. I'm just really happy for you guys. So
thank you so much for saying that.
And for being hosts, too, because I love Keisha, and you guys are crushing it. And I meant to say all this in the beginning. So,
Oh, well, you're so sweet. Thank
you. Aside from that, so, yes, I wasn't in the Bachelor franchise. And going on the show, I thought I knew what I was getting into. I was very naive, but also optimistic. I had my love blinders on. I was very infatuated with Demi. I was would do anything for her, like go on a TV show. And, like... Yeah. Because I never saw myself doing reality television. So then I moved to LA in January with my best friend who was on Colton's season, Catherine Agro is what I call her, Katie, but Catherine Agro. And so we moved to LA and we were still like figuring things out, and she had went on the show and I didn't know how the Bachelor world was. Like I didn't watch it, wasn't like religious in watching it. You know, I've seen it a couple of times, but never really followed anybody or anything about it.
Right.
And I was supportive of my friend, started watching. And then once she aired and everyone was coming into LA for different interviews and shows and stuff. And they were friends with Katie. So they would come over to our house, and like, we lived in West Hollywood at the time, and they would just like hang out, and I got to meet everyone. And I became friends with a lot of these girls from the show, and they're all really beautiful people. And Demi was one of them. And so a couple nights happened where we're just like all hanging out, and like we went out and came back to our house and we're all just hanging out. And then fast forward, like Demi and I started talking. Like I found out she was gay and I was like, what? Like I was so like happy and excited because we were jiving just as friends so well. And I was like, no way. My heart would like beat so fast when she walked into a room. Like, and I know I would assume she was feeling the same way because that's like how I felt. We both were like moving so quickly.
Right.
We fast forward and she became like more out to her producers. Mm-hmm. So they were like asking about Paradise, and she was talking to me, and she was very open and honest about, you know, wanting to go on Paradise. She wants to be a reality star. She is a reality star. That's her career. And I was very supportive of that. And I never, you know, held her back from wanting to go on Paradise. Right. But I was like, do what you want. I'll support you in whatever you do. I'm not sure how our relationship will look after. It just depends. You're going on a dating show, you know?
Right.
And so then the producers and her came up with, I don't know who was involved in the conversations. I just got a call and said, will you meet with us? We want to talk about some opportunities maybe potentially. Mm-hmm. And I was like, sure. Met with them, a couple producers and Demi, and they're like, would you be open maybe potentially going on Bachelor in Paradise? And I was like, I don't know. Like, it took me a while. Like, I was back and forth for like a few weeks, and I was like, I don't know. I just never saw myself doing reality television. I was working as a production assistant on music videos with Boyna Castle and different commercials. And I was moving up, trying to become an assistant director and all these things. And so I was like, I don't know if reality TV kind of fits like what I'm trying to do in entertainment. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, but you know what? If you really want me to go, Demi, I want to be there for you. I want to support you, and I will go. And so that was all before filming started. She went on, and then they're like, okay, pack your bags. You're coming June 8th or what? I think it was June 7th or 8th.
Yeah.
And then it all took off. And so,
but But also what a unique opportunity to have a gay couple on The Bachelor, because, you know, that's so important. And I know that the show, you know, we always talk about how that show can evolve and grow, and that's a way of doing it. I was really happy to see a gay couple on Bachelor in Paradise. I was like, yes, Bachelor, like, show those kinds of couples, show different biracial couples, show everything. Yeah. Like, that's, mm-hmm. I loved to see that. So I thought that was probably another thing, like, for you, obviously I'm not trying to speak for you, but you, no, that yeah. was probably something you thought of too, like how you yeah. could represent that. And that's a beautiful thing.
And the main two things that made me decide to finally go at the last minute was, one, I was like head over heels for Demi. I was yeah. like, yes, I will go. But secondly on that, I realized that, you know, I realized that this could be, you know, something that helps, you know, thousands, if not, you know, who knows how many people, but even if it just helps one person feel more related to or accepted mm-hmm. watching this show, that's something I will be proud of no matter how our relationship ends up. No Absolutely. Matter what happens on the island, at least, no, it's not even an island, on the beach,
yeah.
whatever happens, at least we help someone feel a little bit less alone. And yeah. if I can do that, I'm happy with that. And so
Absolutely.
Those were the final two things that I was like, what can it hurt? If, and another piece of advice I got from a friend that had been on reality TV is, you know, editing is scary. You know, you don't know what's going to happen. I knew I was aware of that. I also was in production, so I understood how it right. all, well, I thought I understood to the extent, but Bachelor is its own animal.
Yeah.
And so, but they can only, if they do edit your words over a different video, which I know, you know, that happens sometimes where it'd mm-hmm. be like, just to make things more, you know, entertaining, no matter if I speak, you know, blessing and good things and positivity and be my most genuine self, they can only cut that up so much. Mm-hmm. So if I'm so worried about how they're going to edit me or like, you know, they could, it could make or break your reputation going on such a big show. And I was right. aware of that. And I wanted to do entertainment. So it was something that was very important to me for my reputation as well. And Absolutely. Being a gay woman. So
right.
that's the advice I took. And I just tried my best to be me.
Now back to Off the Vine, Grape Therapy.
And did you feel like positive overall about how they represented you or your relationship? Did you have an overall like positive experience? I mean, we can talk about how after, maybe not so much, but because you two ended up getting engaged, didn't you?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that must have been somewhat positive for to be, you know, to get towards
get that.
Far. Yeah.
Yeah. I think, and a lot of people, I don't know if they know this, but you don't have your phone. You don't have connection to your circle of people mm-hmm. in the outside world. And so when you're there, it's very secluded. Like you,
yeah, yeah.
You get
feel isolated. Yeah.
Yeah. You're isolated. And I'm so fortunate for the cast that was there when we were there. They were very supportive and mm-hmm. I felt right at home right away. And also being a part of production in my career at the time, it made me comfortable with the cameras. I mean, I had never really been in front of the camera,
right.
but being around that type yeah. that setting, yeah. I was like, this is nothing. They actually would find me behind the camera talking to like the cameramen and producers. And they would be like, Christian, why don't you get in? What do you think about that? And I was like, oh, I was like, I forgot.
<All right.
laughs> I gotta be over there. Okay.
Yeah.
but all in all, it really was a positive experience. The hardest part was actually my relationship with Demi. Like it yeah. wasn't hard making friends there because yeah. everyone was so supportive. We genuinely I was hoping that it was like, I was very optimistic and mm-hmm. I was like, I'm going to get through this. I want to be with her. She's saying she wants to be with me. This is it. Like, and it did lead to an engagement and there were very high moments, but the high moments were very high and
yeah.
almost to a point of like unrealistic outside of the show. And so it's hard to explain like, yeah, after the show, things are, you know, can change. And mm-hmm. I thought it was going to be one way and it just wasn't. So
I think that's something I feel like a lot of people feel after the show is, you know, everyone's emotions are so heightened. You're going mm-hmm. through these crazy experiences. You have all the time to just focus on each other, especially in yep. Paradise, Bachelor or Bachelorette, not so much, but Paradise, you have so much time to focus on each other and just be in that, you know, setting. So, I mean, I think so many people adored you both as a couple and wanted, they're rooting for you to succeed and to, you know, stay together. So, and I don't know if you've ever been able to talk about your side or what happened for you.
Well, after the official breakup post, and we had been on the rocks like a long time before that, mm-hmm. it was a very rocky few months, really. Mm-hmm. We agreed to like not really speak about the breakup. And I wanted to protect Emmy at all costs. I mm-hmm. wanted to be the best I could be, how I knew how to be for her, be supportive for her, be protective of her, and be a good partner and a good fiance. And so I know in my heart, I try my very best. But there comes a point when you lose yourself. And mm-hmm. I wasn't taking care of myself. And I was almost had these crazy expectations for her to refill me. But yeah. she was, you know, not able to. And so I stuck with that. I didn't, that agreement of not speaking about the breakup. And we were highly suggested not to have our comments on the post, which I was okay with having the comments on. But that was another agreement we had. And I said, okay, we can do that. Here's the breakup post. I'll post it. Everything's okay. I just wanted that chapter to close because I was so hurt. And I just, and not, a lot of people don't understand, like, everyone's like, oh, you know, you're engaged, it's all good and all stuff. But like the layers of being on reality TV and having a public relationship and also being thrusted into the light of like everyone knows who you are and in your business, you get all these different kind of like mental things, layers you have to go through. Like,
yeah,
I and you know how it is. And like getting random DMs, people liking you, not liking you, saying things.
Yeah.
Like I wasn't used to all of that. And I think if I had a different partner, but someone that was more, you know, ready to be supportive, you know, a good balance, it would yeah. have been, you know, I was all for that. I was like, I'll support you. You support me. Let's kill it. Let's do this.
Right.
Like, I love you. Like, let's be a boss couple. Like, this yeah. is going to be so fun. And so I've never really spoken about the breakup. And that's why I just like, appreciate you so much. Thank you for like having me on.
Of course, I
wouldn't want to like talk to anybody else about this because I really, out of everyone that I've seen, like you're just like a boss, badass, mm-hmm. like Bachelor Nation, like good example, real, genuine. And so that's how that's so I was sweet. Like, I want to be like, and Kelly Flanagan was like, you love her. Like she's great. She's real, you know? And so that's why I was like, yeah, I want to do it with Galen Bristow.
That's
and
so nice. Thank you.
It's true. That was the conversation that was had. So and I spoke on like Sydney from Colton Season had a podcast mm-hmm. for a brief moment. And I had spoken a little bit about, you know, my story, but not to an extent. I wasn't even comfortable with like myself then, you know,
yeah,
I was
yeah.
still wounded and I wasn't confident. I was not in the right mindset. I just had yeah. really bad mental health for the last 2 years. And I'm just now getting to a point of like forgiveness and closure and
yeah.
confidence and really putting myself first so I could be a better person for the people in my life, especially mm-hmm. my partner.
Absolutely. So. Yeah. It's so hard. I think we've all been in a relationship where we felt like we lost ourselves completely mm-hmm. and just become like almost like a shell of ourselves. And you have these expectations of your partner. And when they're not mm-hmm. met, you lose yourself even more because you're like, am I not worth it? Or, you know, yes. you have all these feelings questioning right. yourself and what you, and you're like, I did all of this for you. Right. And like, I would want the same in return. And people just end up on different pages. And when you throw yeah. reality TV in there, it makes it a little more messy. And people, you know, either like the attention or don't like the attention, or they, you know, get overwhelmed by certain, you know, DMs yeah. and what people are saying, or they thrive on it. Like two people can handle that situation very differently.
Yeah.
And it sounds to me like you just, I mean, that was just something you were like, if we're going to do it, like same page, let's be on the same page. And you just weren't, you guys weren't on the same page. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's really hard.
Yeah. It's hard. It was hard because like everyone that's on Bachelor in Paradise, they know to an extent kind of how it all goes. Like
yeah.
after the show, editing, airing, all these things. And so I didn't know like what it even meant, like to have a blue check mark and like to like,
right.
I didn't understand like what it really meant. And because I just had my love blinders on, I was hyper focused on this mm-hmm. relationship and just being committed and being with Demi. And so coming off of the show, it was just super hard to like not have someone be excited for us or like watching the show together. Like we watched the show once or twice together. Like,
well, how come? So, do you know why? Like, why didn't?
I can't speak for her, but I think it was just a lot of anxiety, you know, because of what I think she likes to be alone to like watch the, just to prepare for like, I don't know, external opinions. And it was very heightened with her anxiety. It fell a lot onto the public of like what people think of her. And we all do that. Right. But I think, honestly, I don't know. Like, I really don't know. I can't speak for her and I don't want to.
Right. Yeah. That's understandable. I like that you said, you know, well, I don't like this for you, but I do now because you've worked on yourself and you struggled and you're just getting like the confidence and closure. For anyone listening that maybe is going through that same thing or struggling, even, you know, it's Pride Month and some people are maybe struggling and not coming out or being themselves. Whether your advice is to like, you know, for a relationship or for how you went through a hard time and you found yourself again and got the confidence. How did you do it?
There was a lot of time involved, you know, really taking the time to self-reflect and look inside. Mm-hmm. And I also believe in God and I have a very faith-based meditation style to my like life and all my relationships. So anyone listening, first of all, there was a lot of DMs I got from Bachelor Nation of people coming out to me in DMs, but not being able to come out in real life. Yeah. And I want you to know your time is always going to be the right time. Don't feel pressured and don't think you're too late. You know, your time is always the right time to come out. And yeah, so I wanted to share that because I've gotten so many DMs and I've read every single DM I've ever gotten since the show. And I've read every single email, but I can't get back to everyone. So I just want everyone to know that I do read them. And also I got a lot of scrutiny of like, say you're a Christian or believe in God and be gay? And so that's a lot of controversy I have on my page or people being like, wow, you know, thank you so much for being true to your faith and your sexuality. And I was like, well, Jesus was always there for me and I didn't make myself this way. Right. So that's how I kind of view it. And I forget the question.
I do. Okay. You are like me. Whether it's my own podcast or I'm on another one, I always go off and then I go, wait, what was the question even? Yeah, I do it all the time. I kind of made it confusing because I kind of asked you two questions in one. So I love that answer that you gave me. And I was going to ask because I do want advice for people who struggle with, you know, Colton said it when he came out, the struggle of your faith and feeling a way that you were told you shouldn't feel by, you know, the church or whatever.
People love the most sometimes even.
Right. So how do you navigate that?
A lot of people, I'm sorry if anyone's gone through religious trauma. I'm going to first put that out there.
Yeah.
But that's very real in the gay community. And a lot of people are like, I have to choose between my faith and what I was raised on, what my parents and my, you know, my community has told is wrong. And like what I know it's wrong. And that's why I haven't come out, but I'm sick of this internal like shame and depression and guilt and darkness and like not allow. And I've had the chills because I remember those feelings of like, I can't be myself without turning my back on all of these people or them not loving me or God shunning me or like, and so that's what we're raised to believe. But in like, I believe God is love and love is patient. Love is kind. All of those things in 1 Corinthians. And I think that, and I'm really proud of Colin, you know, I don't agree with how he handled some things with Cassie. However, I am just fortunate. I'm really glad that someone that is gay is accepting themselves finally and is free to express their sexuality. So I do support him in that. It's very hard when you have religious trauma to, you know, I had a great family that supported me, but I don't know if anyone knows this, but I actually, me going on the show was coming out to my family. So I wasn't really, Demi was the first out relationship I've ever had.
Wow.
So a lot of people, I think the show just kind of portrayed me as this confident out person.
Yeah.
But I was finally confident because I moved to Chicago by myself and I was like, I'm going to let all my friends know, like in my comedy classes, that I'm gay. Yeah. And so like it was a small community, but I still was like learning to be out because there's layers to being out. There's being out to your family, mm-hmm. being out to the people that you trust, these close friends, being out to, you know, your just strangers or getting coffee or being like, you got a boyfriend? No, I'm actually right. gay. Like the amount of times I've gotten that in my life. And so there's so many layers to it. So when I went on the show, like I had posted one picture. I was an ordained minister, which is so funny. Everyone's like, will you do my wedding? I just got ordained to like marry my two best guy friends. Like Joe and Ryan, I just married them in Palm Springs. That's and I got awesome. Ordained to do that. But I don't really take it like seriously in the fact that that's a career or like a profession of mine. And so I wedded them or whatever you'd say. And when I did that, I made a post and I said, you know, it was very like hidden. It was like mm-hmm. a big long post. I love you. Like, I love your love, all these great things. And then I said, you know, we oftentimes in the gay community, and I just put we in there because I'm like, you know what? I'm so proud of them. And I look up to them for being so confident and out and married and all this stuff. And I want that one day. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to just write it in my profile or like in the description. But my family doesn't have, like, they don't look into the detail. My dad doesn't even have Instagram. Yeah. Like, my grandparents don't know what that is. Like, all these things. So, and not everyone caught it. It was just kind of, like, hidden in there. Mm-hmm. And then that was in February. And then I started seeing Demi in March. And then I went on the show in June. So what really stinks, too, or did, you know, I've learned to, like, kind of cope and, like, you know, rehabilitate some relationships. But when we were still in Mexico and we were engaged, nobody was supposed to know, right? And so once we were about to fly back to LA, the producers came in and said, hey, some information leaked, like it's out. And here's your phones. And I'm like, I had 400 text messages.
Oh my gosh.
And I had like the chills again. I'm like, it was just like, wait, I didn't even get a chance to include my people, my circle, the, you know, the ones that do know I'm out to appropriately like give my family, like me being gay, they knew I was going on a show, but they didn't know the extent of it. You know, I didn't really tell them anything. I just said, hey, I'm going to be gone for a little bit. I'm doing a show. And so that was a bummer because everyone was like, we're engaged. Like, how did I not know? I've been here for you for 10 plus years. Like, you didn't even talk to, who is this girl? What's going on?
Right.
And so it kind of, I was outed as well. And I know Demi's spoken on that, but the show was a really highlighted about her, which I was in support of. However, like it took away from my coming out story too. And so that was kind of like hard to deal with.
Well, that's a very real thing. And to people, I know a lot of times people see it as just TV or a show,
right?
But you're not a character. You're a real human being. And that was a really important moment for you.
Right.
And it got to, someone else got to share your story before you did. And that's, that would have really hurt if that was me.
Yeah. Thank you for saying that. I think I would have been more okay with it if the effort and there was more of a balance in the relationship after the show, if there was more support and things like that. But you know, all of this like concluded, I am just so happy to find, and I want to say for everyone too, like if you're going through a hard time and you feel, you know, you were done wrong or like, something went sour and you're blaming yourself and all these things. Forgiveness is so important, not only to forgive others when they don't ask for it, but forgiving yourself as well. Like give yourself a break, because if you don't forgive, you're going to lead to resentment. You're going to lead to all these other things. And also remember, forgiveness isn't a one, like I forgive you, it's good. No, the trauma, the feelings, everything.
Oh, yeah.
Forgiveness can take years.
Yeah.
And you might have to re-forgive 1,000 times.
Yeah.
And I just finally, after almost two years, I've finally come to a place where I'm like letting go. I'm just like, that's a part of my life and I can't remove it. And not that I would want to, but I don't know, like I'm not regretting anything anymore. Like I'm not looking back and being like ashamed of myself or being because I was so naive or I didn't stick up for myself or all these, like I'm ready to like, I'm moved forward. I'm good, you know? And it will happen for everyone that's out there that is like going through something maybe similar, or hopefully this can help someone out there. But forgiveness is key, you know?
Yeah.
This is Off the Vine, Grape Therapy.
There can be a lot of shame around,
oh yeah,
you know, when something goes wrong, or if, you know, a relationship doesn't work, especially when the world can be watching it. Gosh. Mm-hmm. But I mean, even when there's not, there's still so much shame that people feel. And that's kind of, that is a process. It's not like you can just snap your fingers and shame's gone. It's a process, and it's probably an everyday thing of forgiving yourself and other people, and constantly working on that to a point where it could take up to a couple years to really be able to let it go. But it's going to take that time of forgiveness and forgiving yourself and telling yourself that, and like even looking in the mirror and saying it to yourself. And
yes, like, affirmations.
Yes.
And saying it out loud, you know?
Yes. Yeah.
And being aware of it. And not in a lot of relationships too, it's like you can always take something from it to apply to your future. Like in anything, in experience in life, you can like really dissect it and really see like, okay, this was to show me what I need and what I don't need out of a relationship. What I do deserve, what I don't deserve out of a relationship. So when I was finally kind of opening up, it took a long time. I like to open up my heart to my girlfriend now, but she didn't give up. Like she was like, you're broken, you're in pieces, but I want to help you put them back together by supporting you, not by controlling or trying to do it herself. She wanted to give me the freedom and the time and the space to do that, a healthy atmosphere and environment to feel loved while I figured out how to deal with Instagram and like not being insecure, or like, and I'm still insecure. I still overthink every post, you know,
of course.
And then, you know, and all the layers with that, and like, what are people going to think? And does Bachelation even like me? You know what I mean? Do people even care? You know, it's just like these negative thoughts,
the questions,
you have to untrain your brain and live your life and let Instagram be a subcategory of that, not everything, you know? And I know a lot of people make a great career off of it, and I'm fortunate enough to have that as well to an extent, but I want it to be like, this is my reality, real life, love, my relationships, my foundation. And then hopefully I can give that to Instagram, not Instagram controlling me by like the public, you know?
Yeah. That's, I really love that you think that way, and, because it can be stronger than you sometimes, and it can take over. And especially when it's a mix of like your business or career and personal life, and you can get super caught up in it. I know I've had to like reel it in a few times and say like, whoa, okay, that's a good way of looking at it. Like you control your Instagram. That's a, you know, that's something that you can share in your life, but you can't let that control your moods, if you're good enough, your value, your worth, all of those things, which I know it can do to so many people, especially such young kids right now. Like it's putting so much self-worth on them, and it just kills me. And that's something that everyone I think needs to work on, is not finding your self-worth through likes and comments and what other people who don't even know you think. Like you should absolutely care about what the people you love and care about think. But I love, what is your girlfriend's name?
Taylor. Yeah.
I love that she is that person for you, because I think that's exactly what you need. That's what you were lacking in your last relationship, and that you probably wouldn't have appreciated that kind of love as much if you didn't, you know, have that last relationship where you're like, no, that's what I need.
Right.
So I feel like I did the same kind of thing in this relationship. I'm like, all those things that I was insecure about in past relationships, all of the other relationships, he makes up for. And I was like, wow, I would have never appreciated this kind of love before I knew what I needed. And you have to go through those crap times to realize what you need.
Yeah. And then it makes you, once you do get that, then it makes you appreciate. And appreciation is so needed in relationships. Like just saying to your partner, like, I appreciate you. Like, I appreciate that you just said the dishes. Like really giving gratitude, because then it also trains your brain to be like more grateful too. Yep. Like, you know, and that's so important.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I love that. Well, I love you, and I love Taylor, and I'm so glad you found each other. And that's just so, I mean, you probably went through such a hard time, and for other people to be really watching that, you probably helped so many people, and I'm sure, you did. And I'm sure, you know, all the like pressure and things and overwhelming times you felt, those are valid too. You know, like you were allowed to feel all of that. And now you're in a place where you can be like, I'm freaking traveling the world with my loving, supportive yep. girlfriend, and I'm with family, and I'm just so happy for you.
I appreciate it, Caitlin. It means the world too, especially like you're the freaking host of Bachelor Nation and it's Pride Month, and like the fact you even, you know, scheduled me in to come on, and it's been like 2 years and whatever, I did a show, but like, it means a way more than I can express, because I know it's a part of a show, but I don't always feel a part of Bachelor Nation. And so it means so much to like hear that from you, especially, you know, so I appreciate that.
You are definitely part of Bachelor Nation. And I know Bachelor Nation people love you. Like, I remember being so happy at the love I was seeing and support I was seeing for you two individually and together. Yeah. But individually, I was really happy with, I'm sure I didn't see all the negativity, but I saw so much support on the internet, which I was just like, I don't know. It made me so happy to see, because obviously deserving. So, and now this is my other question. Are you able to watch these shows now, like Bachelor, Bachelor in Paradise, Bachelor, or are you like, nah, maybe not?
I don't know. It depends who's on it. No, I just, no.
It's true. I get it.
Yeah. I of course support Tayshia, so anything she's said, I've watched.
Yeah.
And I'm still close with a few of the girls from Colton's season, because that was like kind of the era I was a part of with friends, and anyone that was on Paradise, you know, not anyone, but majority of them I'm friends with, or like, you know, support them in whatever they do. But do I watch the show? I was never like, let's watch Bachelor, Bachelorette. Like, I never really was that type, because I don't think I felt like I'm gay. So it's like, am I going to watch a heterosexual? It's very entertaining, I must say.
But you can't relate. You don't feel represented. Yeah.
No. Yeah. So I never was like a diehard Bachelor person, but I mean, there's a lot of gay people out there that love the show, and it is very entertaining. But now that I know how it kind of works too, I'm kind of like, I know what's going on here. Like, I know what everyone that's watching doesn't need to know, because they're just like crying or laughing or whatever. Yeah. But I do watch it. I watched last night's episode. So
yeah.
And Katie seems freaking a doll, amazing of a human being. And I didn't know much about her, but how she holds herself, how she treats others, how she treats herself. Mm-hmm. She is a boss as well. Like, you and Tayshia and Katie are like crushing it as humans. Just
thank you. We had so much fun. Thank you for saying that. It was it was so cool to be able to help her from saying, we've been in your shoes. Like, not many people can be there for a person like that. So I think it really helped her open up and be more vulnerable and accepting and own her own emotions and know, like, okay, this is what they went through it, and they felt these same emotions. So that must be what it is. But, and I know, like, for certain people, and I want to say, like, trigger warning, because I saw a lot of people say they wish there was a trigger warning on last night's episode when Katie talked about her experience and what she had gone through, and talking about, like, consent and having sex, because she is such a sex-positive person. But you know how, like you said, everyone thought you came in as this confident gay woman who is, like, you know, we all thought that's who she is. And you were like, no, I didn't even have the opportunity to, you know, say it for myself, kind of thing. And I feel like it's always nice to hear people's real stories, whether it is a struggle. Like, you obviously would never want that for somebody, any struggles that they've gone through. But for them to open up and talk about it obviously helps so many other people. So, you know, Katie being sex positive, knowing that she wasn't always feeling that way, that something happened to her, that she didn't even want to have sex for years. And she is, you know, clearly worked on it and worked on herself. And for you to be sex positive after that, you would have to do some deep diving and therapy and self-work and self-love. So I think it's so important to see, one, that people aren't alone, and two, that you can get through it, and that damage will always be done, but you can get through it. And if you speak it out loud, people will comfort you and relate to you and be there for you, as long as you're able to be vulnerable.
Right. And the courage she had to do that, not only like to that small group in that moment, and the cameramen and the producers, but to the world. Like, but when you speak things that have been eating you alive inside or holding you back, mm-hmm. or it's dark, you kind of give it less power over you. And that's what I've learned through the last 2 years of like therapy and everything. Like, mm-hmm. if I'm just internalizing and not having, it's good to have support, and she's going to get so much support. And if she definitely is, because I support her, you support her. Yes. Like, and I know Bachelor Nation, I know they're saying, well, it should have been a trigger warning. I don't know how they've said it. I don't know, right. you know, if they're like saying like, hey, you should have told me that was, no, these are real people again. Like, right. people need to understand, yeah, it's entertaining, it's funny, Carl's drama, like, oh, yeah. let's see the men fight. Yeah, it's like, but these are real humans, and she did it. I don't think there needed to be a trigger warning. I think that's like, it is what it is. She's a human, mm-hmm. and she has the right to speak whatever she wants. And the right. fact that she went through a dark, not only a dark moment, but then was manipulated into a relationship after yeah. that, because her self-reflection was manipulated to be like, I have to prove myself to him, or like, this is what it's yeah, supposed yeah. to kind of be. And like, I'm like Connor on this. Like, I will cry because it's like, it's so courageous that she was able, like, my little self-reflections and stuff last 2 years, but like, for her to become sex positive after yep. years of not even like trusting sex or trusting men or trusting, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And for her to go on a show with like, and be like open to 20 plus guys, like, wow. Like, yeah. I don't know. She has my full support, and I don't think she needed a trigger warning. She can say whatever she wants, and I'm really yeah. proud of her.
And she, and you know what? It probably took a lot of self-exploring and being mm-hmm. comfortable in her own sexuality with herself. I think that was a big part of who she is, because she can yeah. trust herself. And I think that all that work that she's done on herself has obviously led her to be able to open herself up to these relationships. And I just adore her, and I love that she shared it. And I loved after that they said, you know, if you've experienced this, or anyone yeah. in your life has, there's help, and they gave yeah. a number. And I thought that was a really nice moment for the show to do that. It was a very, like, just overall really vulnerable, emotional episode. And then,
well, not only the mic situation. Oh my gosh. I know people were like, oh, I want it to be like entertaining and funny and stuff. But again, these are real people. And Mike is I like cried during that with my mom.
Because, oh, I know. Like,
not only because like my family's experienced cancer, and I have cancer survivors, and my siblings are cancer survivors, two of them. And so wow. for him to like lose somebody to it, I know what that feels like. And I know yeah. like having friends that have passed and everything, and for him to reopen his heart and mm-hmm. like, and be the father he needs to be for James, as yeah. That's his name, right? James.
Yes. James.
Like
yeah.
his son. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that was beautiful how he took his time to really, because I think Katie respected his time to wait when it was the perfect moment to share that. He could have shared it way before, but he, yeah. it was his, it's his life. Like that yeah. is, and he really, you can tell how he prioritizes his family and his love as the foundation. And what did he say? It's a blessing to fall in love twice. The perspective.
I cried. Like, I just started bawling when I heard that. The perspective and like the...
Oh my gosh, it's beautiful.
And him saying to her, you know, like the way they both handled it together, I was like, oh my gosh, this is pure magic, because yeah. she let him speak and she just let him feel yeah. and get through it. And she told him, like, she was just looking at him like, I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And then for her to say, I would respect that, you know, relationship and that love you had for her, and I'd want you to have that space. And he's like, but I'd also have to, like, you know, give you the confidence in our love. And I was like, this is the most beautiful moment. Like,
and him
I was
saying that
sobbing.
It was going to be unique. Like, you know, ugh. It doesn't need to be compared. It doesn't need yeah. to be, you know, yeah. it is what it is. And you can tell he still has that love, and that's okay.
Right.
And for her to accept that and understand that whatever they create is just the beginning. Like you said, the engagement's just the beginning. And that is so true.
So like, true.
Oh my gosh. It's beautiful. Yeah.
It was. And I feel like that's the difference in, you know, he's 36 or 37. I think that's the difference in having these, like, what was the season that Tayshia's, she had, like, her men were just really available, emotionally available and mm-hmm. mature and like, it was so nice to see because you still got the drama, you still got the entertainment, you still got the laughter, but then you had real people with real stories and real like emotional vulnerability and emotional intelligence. Yeah. Yes. And I really felt that between her and Michael A. And I was like, more of this, please. Because at the end of the day, what the world needs and is craving right now is to see love and happiness and vulnerability and connection mm-hmm. over that. And I was just like, oh, I was just a mess last night watching that episode. I mean, of course, there's the Thomases who you just want to punch in the dick and be like, get out of here. I can't. Like,
Carl,
even though
I'm like,
even though maybe Carl was right, like there is somebody here. Okay, fine. But still, like, there's just so many red flags. Every time he talked, I was like, eh? Like, he just seemed.
I was like, why are you saying anything? Like, what are you saying? In the circle when he was talking, it's like, for the platform and for, and I'm like, are you okay? Like, this, everyone just shared their deepest, like, hardest moments in their lives.
Like, he was grinning like a clown from a Stephen King novel.
Yeah. He was like scripted. Like, I'm at a casting call. Like, he reminded, like, that's what it seemed like. I don't know. And it just showed, like, did you hear anything? Did you have any emotional connection or sympathy or empathy for any of these people? And for me, I saw on his face, no. Like, he was just ready. He was just rehearsing in his head, like, what he was trying to say, all about him, what I look like. Making sure, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that just didn't seem genuine. So
he reminds me of someone from Andy's season, Josh Murray, who I've seen it because I thought it in my head and I saw people tweeting about it. I was like, okay, it's not just me. I just feel like he doesn't have life experience. I don't feel like he has that emotional intelligence that we were saying from, you know, the other guys that we've seen. Like Connor was able to really like show emotion.
I wanted to hug him. I think he was so empathetic. He could see her heart and he showed his heart. And the fact that it wasn't like some, you know, sad experience. It was like his own mistake. And the fact that he was willing to be honest and vulnerable and say, hey, I was not loyal and this is what happened. And I want you to know I'm not that same person. That is so emotionally intelligent, like growth. You know what I'm saying? Like the world needs more of that.
Seriously. And you felt it. Like he wasn't just saying it to be like, I've grown. Like he felt it. And you could just see all the emotion. Like that's someone where people are like, once a cheater, always a cheater. Not Connor B.
No, not Connor B. No.
He learned from his mistake. That's not happening. And then he got the rose, which made me so happy. Yeah. But I just really, the whole episode, I thought it was a great episode. It was obviously not like the drama filled one, but it was different and I really liked it. And I felt like I came out of it being like, wow, I really have respect for a lot of these guys here.
My whole entire perspective shifted.
Yes. Sure. And I found myself rooting for so many more and I was there. Like I knew these guys, but now hearing it, you know, I wasn't in that circle on the date. Right. I didn't hear these stories and I heard some of the stories of Katie would come back and tell us something, but to watch it and see it, I'm like rooting for all of them. And I just.
Guys showing their feelings. Wow. Making change here. You can have feelings, gentlemen, and you can share them.
And then if you think about those people who are going to raise kids.
Yeah.
That just gives me so much hope because I'm like, of course there's the Instagram and all that bullshit. Yeah. But like, then there's the people who are really like, you know, understanding the importance of vulnerability and like, how we're all talking about our feelings so much more and depression and mental health is talked about and we're all like being open and there for each other and that's how we're going to raise our kids. That makes me very hopeful.
Oh, I love that. You are so right. Exactly. Yeah.
You got to look at the silver linings. I'm like, because usually I'm like, oh God, my 13-year-old girl on Instagram. Oh dear God.
I know. Like, I'm like, I'm going to have everything blocked. You're not even having a cell phone until you're 16. You're going to play in the woods. You're going to learn about world.
Yes. Earth. Yeah, exactly. I can't let you go without you having a confession for me because I make all of my guests confess and it's usually my favorite part of the pod.
So I was in college and I went to Stetson University, a little small university. I was in the sorority Pi Phi and I wasn't really a sorority girl, obviously. Like I was very tomboy and like played sports and stuff. Not that you can't do both, but right. you know, for the stereotypical sorority wasn't like that. And so I lived in the sorority house and I started taking on positions and I ended up becoming actually the president, which I was like, I don't know how that happened. And I was a partier in my freshman year and all this stuff. So it was my sophomore year. And in the beginning of like school, the classes aren't that serious yet. You know, everyone's kind of just reuniting and partying and like, that's how it was back then, at least. And
yeah.
I lived in the sorority house with my friend, my best friend. She's still my friend. And her name is Kathleen. And we're in the bedroom and we had twin little beds like on either side. And she's just like loud and obnoxious, but like in the best way, you know, like
yeah.
calling people out on their shit, like just always saying something to somebody, but everyone's laughing and no hard feelings, you know?
Yeah.
So I was standing there and I was like, we had partied all night and like we, you know, I don't do that anymore, but like partied all night. Yeah. And the only thing I had in my little fridge next to my bed was like Red Bulls. So I was yeah. like, just like waking up kind of hungover, but still kind of tipsy. And I was like
yeah.
just chugging Red Bull to like start my day because that's super healthy. And
I was like 19 great way to start 20, your day. Yeah.
And I was, and this gets like, I'm so sorry. I have to tell you. I can't believe I'm telling you this. So I'm standing at the end of my bed, my little twin bed, and I was like talking. I was like folding clothes or something. I don't know what I was doing. I was at the end of the bed. Kathleen was like turned away from me, and I thought I just had to like toot a little, like little, just little
yeah. Uh-oh.
Fluffer, just a yeah, little, yeah, yeah. Like, little, whatever,
little,
no big
little
deal.
Little flat tire, like it's
just like,
yeah.
Yeah, yeah. A little flat tire, like a little bike tire, just a little bit. And it was not. And it was like, a whole night of drinking in my system and like two Red Bulls that I had
oh,
chugged.
No.
So, and it's like 10 a.m. And it wasn't that. And she turns around like this and she's like, what was that? And I was like, and I stood at the end of the bed. I was like, and the bathroom was behind me. I was like, I couldn't say anything. I turned white. I started just backing up into the bathroom because I had shit my pants. And I literally go into the bathroom and I all my clothes on, I get in the shower. Like I didn't even know I don't know what's going on down there. I was like, I might be dying. And so I turn on the shower and I'm just mortified. I'm like, oh my God. And Kathleen's loud. She runs out into the sorority chapter room. And she's like, Christian just shit her pants.
No.
And everyone comes running through the bathroom. They pull open the curtain. I'm in my like
no.
clothes. And they're all dying laughing. They're like, what are you doing? Like what? What do you do? And I was like, I don't know what's going on. I'm like putting soap just on my clothes. Like I just like didn't know what to do. And thankfully I'll never have, like I've learned my lesson. Like that was like so embarrassing, but also I'm at a point where I'm like, I don't even care. Like
yeah.
it's so funny.
That's so me. That's, I mean, that is the best because.
I thought you were saying that's so me.
That's so me. I shit my pants all the time.
Are you okay?
I just shit my pants all the time. No, I do it. I do it just to have a confession on my podcast. No, I'm just kidding. But that's so many people have like some of their confessions. They always like end it with like, you don't trust a toot. You just never trust
you
a toot.
You don't. You can't. Wait,
so that was the lesson
before.
I've had so many people shit their pants on this podcast. Yes. My favorite.
Oh my gosh. I feel so related to.
Oh no, you will. That's, honestly, it's so funny because some people were like, I can't believe I'm telling you this. And then all my Off the Vine listeners go and like support you and go, I shit my pants too.
There's
like,
a whole community for Off the Vine charters.
There really is. I almost want to make t-shirts. Like there really is. So you are very,
you're not alone.
You're not alone in this battle. And
then on the back, don't trust a fart.
Yes. Never. I think I should do it. I think, are you drinking a Capri Sun?
Yeah.
That is amazing.
You know, that's all I had. I had two. Well, I have a Gatorade too, but I'm like not in the mood for that. And I saw this because my nephew was at my mom's. I'm like,
oh, that's amazing.
Sons? I've had one of these in so long. I took two.
You're the coolest.
Yeah, I'm like, mom, these are cool. She's like, those are Dexters. And I was like, not anymore.
Oh my gosh. That's amazing. That looks delicious. Where can people find you so they can follow and relate to your shit in your pants story?
I have Tell shared you know. It on my Instagram before.
That's amazing.
It just Christian Haggerty. My name's spelled weird. It's spelled with a K. So Christian Haggerty is my handle. And that's pretty much where I post everything for now. And we'll see where the world takes us. I basically do all Instagram. That's like my main thing. I have the Twitter, but I don't really, I just lurk on it more so than write anything because it's a scary world.
You're telling me.
You're brave if you're on Twitter. I'm just going to watch.
Could be a really dark place. Well, I can't wait to go follow you now because I'm like, I can't wait to see your adventures and just see what you're doing. And you're just such a lovely person and so easy to talk to. And is there anything else you wanted to say that I didn't get to?
I think I'm good. I really just want to say thanks again. Like, I know I said that before, but I really appreciate you taking the time to do this. And I've only heard good things about you. And it's such a pleasure to finally meet you face to face, well, via Zoom. I'm proud of you and what you and Tayshia are doing. And you have my full support. And you guys are really special people. And I'm glad that your nation is fortunate enough to have you guys bring some light. So
good. You're an actual angel. Thank you for saying that. And all of those things just right back at you. And
thank you.
Will you be traveling through Nashville?
Actually, we stay a lot in Asheville, North Carolina, which isn't. Yeah. Oh, it's the best.
It
we want to like eventually buy property just as an investment, you know, because the market's crazy right now. But just have like a home base.
Yeah.
And I'm actually taking carpentry school in July. So
what?
I'm going to post about it and share my journey, but it's going to be 3 weeks of it. And I'm going to learn how to build like tiny house, woodworking, like all that kind of stuff. And my dream is to actually build my own tiny house and then maybe like Airbnb it out or like just have it in the mountains somewhere.
Friggin' awesome. Yeah,
that's my dream. And I also want to work with, like, I don't know. I can't work on like, to get experience in any career. It's like, you know, I obviously like go out and do it, but building is like such a, I don't know. I can be like, hey, contractor, let me help you. It's like weird. So I'm going to act. And I also want to give back to the community at the same time. So I'm hoping I can reach out to Habitat for Humanity and like get the experience of professional building houses for actual people in the community of Asheville. So I'm hoping that works out. I've already reached out to them, but with COVID and everything, the volunteering is kind of narrow right now. So hopefully it works out. So.
That's awesome. You beautiful soul, you. Wow. Okay. It was great to talk to you and good luck with everything. I'll be following along. And
are you in Nashville? Is that where you asked?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. We should link up.
I would love that. Just slide into my DMs. Let's exchange digits and we'll make it happen. Okay. Thanks so much.
Okay. Well, I'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Sounds good.
Bye.
Hope you enjoyed that conversation. I'm Caitlin Bristow, and your session is now ending.
Thanks for listening to Off the Vine, Grape Therapy. Tune in to hear new minisodes every Thursday and check out new full-length episodes every Tuesday exclusively on podcastone.com, the Podcast One app, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts.
Who's not with OTV?